Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ. Hey everyone, we want to welcome you to episode 8 of the Pastor's Porch. Today, we are going to talk about teaching your children the things of God. This is a concept that we need to really adopt as a body of Christ, as parents with children, is what it looks like to teach them the things of God. You look around us in the culture and in the world, in the day and age we live today, somebody is teaching your kids something. Whether it be at school, whether it be social media, whether it be friends, they are being taught something in every aspect of their life. And so as parents, and as Pastor Zach and I sit here as pastors, we need to make sure that we are teaching our children and raising them up in the Word of God. And so we have a couple passages of scripture we are going to give to you guys today, and then obviously just discuss what some of those things look like, and discuss what and how to apply these to our lives. So bear with us today. We're excited for today. Teaching your children, teaching our children the things of God and what scripture says.
All right. Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here, and hope you get to enjoy today's episode. It is Father's Day weekend, and so we want to give a big shout out to all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day, and thank you for all you have done. Thank you for training up your children and the things that you do. But today, we're going to talk specifically about that. Now, I believe that scripturally, this falls on the fathers and the mothers of children to train up our children and to teach them the things of God. Obviously, probably the most talked about verse, easiest verse for us to remember within the church world would be Proverbs 22:6 that says, train up your child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. But we want to give you a couple different verses today along with that one just to think on. But before I jump into the verses, this is the conversation I want to have. What do you think of when you think of learning from your father? In our society, we learn things from our fathers. Probably my age and older, especially, we remember learning how to change flats, how to maybe change the oil in a vehicle. There are things that we were taught of our fathers, whether it was growing up on a farm or taking care of animals, whether it was things around the house or fixing things or putting our hands on things. There are behaviors and ideologies that we learn from our fathers. Statistically speaking, we need a father in our life. It is proven time and time again within our culture, but we learn from our parents.
Correct.
Before we're 2 years old, we learn, I forget the statistic, but it's 70 or 80% of things we'll know in our whole life before we're even 2 years of age. And so our parents are vital. Parents, being a present parent is vital to the success of your children. Mm-hmm. And in our culture, it's cooking. In our culture, it's for young ladies learning things of the home, for young men learning how to do things in the home, learning how to cook, learning how to clean, learning how to partnership, learning how to, my kids, it's laundry. We have this, the most laundry on planet Earth, I think. And so laundry in my house is a big one. Mowing the grass. I've been teaching my kids how to mow because I'm trying to work myself out of a job mowing the yard. And my boys are learning that. They're enjoying learning that. They get outside and do it. They have a good time with it. But we teach our children how to do things. So I bring all that up to get circled back to this point. Do we take time? We've taught them how to hit a ball. We've taught them how to shoot a free throw. We've taught them how to get good grades. Do we take time to teach them the things of God. So let me read this verse, Pastor T, and then I'll let you run with it. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This is Ephesians 6 and 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4. Run with that, buddy.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing, to go with, and I'm learning this as a father myself, with a 17-month-old and a newborn, the first commandment here is to the head of the household. Mm-hmm. And it sets the precedent of the family unit. It sets the precedent from, go back to Genesis where it talks about, men leaving your father and mother, cleaving to your wife, and how the man should be the spiritual head of the household. And then as man and wife, father and mother, they work together for their kids. But it talks about fathers specifically first because they are to be the spiritual of the household. In the Amplified, it says, do not irritate them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, this is hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's hard as a father not to provoke them to do something you want, even with little babies. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this is it's getting the heart of the father right first.
Yes.
Before it's even worrying about the kids. But then obviously it goes on to say in this is that when you do not do this, but you, as the Amplified, it says, rear them tenderly, mm-hmm. training them and discipling them in the counsel and admonition of the Lord. And so what it's telling me in Ephesians 6, and obviously the whole chapter of Ephesians 6 covers a lot of the family unit, children, parents, all of the above. But what this is telling me is it shows the heart and the character of who Christ is within this too, of what he does for us. He tenderly cares for us. He tenderly chastises us. He tenderly helps us in our relationship with him. And that's how we should be. It's an example of Christ is as fathers and as head of the household and as the spiritual being spiritual heads for our children, we are to tenderly disciple them. And as you discussed earlier, yeah, there's a lot of importance for fathers and mothers raising children to be well off by worldly standards.
Sure.
To understand how to mow, to understand how to do finances, to sure. understand how to work on a car, to understand yeah. how to do laundry, to understand how to do all that. But it's so important that we understand how to disciple our kids. Mm-hmm. We talk about pastors. We've talked about it on this podcast. We've talked about it in sermon series that we've done here at church is discipleship and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the most important discipleships that we should have within the body of Christ is parents discipling their kids.
Yeah.
It's important. That is one of the greatest things that I've taken from when I was raised. It's one of the most respects that I have for my father and mother. Mm-hmm. It's more than anything that they taught me. It's that they raised me in the scriptures.
Yeah.
It gave me a baseline for my faith. Mm-hmm. It gave me a baseline for me to grow up and understand scriptures on my own, mm-hmm. to now me have a baseline for my kids. And it's really important that we bring them and nurture them, as it says in the King James, in the way of the Lord. And I think of that word nurture there, that takes time. That takes relationship. Mm-hmm. I think, we just had a new baby boy, and I think of what it looks like when my wife is nurturing him, of the time and the commitment that it takes to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? It's going to take time and commitment for us to disciple our kids, but it's important.
Well, it's cultivating.
Yes.
I mean, when you read this verse specifically, nurture and admonition, those words, literally, we're talking about cultivating relationship. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about fathers, don't raise your children in anger or in wrath, but bring them to nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's the whole training? It's the whole training of who God is. And I think it's interesting to me that Ephesians 6 is the place that this is found. I don't think it's a mistake or a coincidence that the armor, the whole armor of God, is what's talked about here shortly in this chapter.
Follows it.
I don't think that is by happenstance. About training our children and talking to our children, the nurture and the admonition, the cultivation of relationship, the whole training of relationship. It always cracks me up, and I shouldn't say it cracks me up. That's not the right word. It alarms me when I have these friends that are willing to go win the whole world to Jesus, but they can't talk to their kids about the things of God. Like, that is a big red flag to me. And I have people like that around me in the ministry that they'll go across seas to talk to people about Jesus, but they won't go talk to their own son, or they won't go talk to their own daughter, or they'll make time for a 5-day revival 6 states away, but they can't sit on the back porch and read the word of God with their own children. And I believe that when you said it earlier, this is the call to the church. Discipleship does take relationship.
Yeah.
Discipleship is vital. And I mean, look at the things, and that's why I brought those things up, whether it's mowing, whether it's hitting a ball, whether it's shooting a shot, whether it's good grades or how to read, all the things that we invest in teaching our children, and the hours and hours and hours we'll spend chasing a ball around, but we can't go spend 10 minutes sitting on the porch and reading God's word. Mm-hmm. When God's word is telling us that we have to take the time to cultivate that relationship with Jesus. Yeah. That we have to make it a priority. This verse in Deuteronomy that I found last night is just all over me. It talks about setting in our house. It's Deuteronomy 6 and 7. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. You would diligently teach your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truth. And you will speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Are we hearing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did this the other night in the Wednesday night service. Was we brought in the youth group and talked about the things of God purposely in front of the young people. There is a cultivation that must happen, that a generation that will come to know Christ comes through the cultivation. Well, what is that talking about? It is literally talking about us sitting in our home and talking about the things of God.
And it doesn't even mean that you literally have to pull out a Bible verse and read it. It's as simple as sitting down and just having conversations, saying, hey, who's God to you?
Yeah.
What has God done for you? You know, how is your relationship with Christ? Well, let me just tell you about my day and how God used me in today. Or let me tell you about how we've just been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not anything specific, but you wake up, you have a house, you have food on your table, and you have a job that you can go work on and work at and come home to a family. And you just say, man, God's good to us.
Mm-hmm.
And just telling them, you know. One thing that we do with our little girl, she's 17 months old, and of course she's not to that age where she can really take in things, and we can't sit down and do a 5-minute Bible study with her and her understand it. Sure, we still read the scriptures and stuff, but I found this YouTube channel that makes kids worship music and makes it fun and everything. Mm. And let me tell you, when I turn on the TV and pull up, she recognizes the pictures of the little animated characters and stuff, mm-hmm. and the joy that she has when that comes on. Mm-hmm. And to some of you listening, you may be, that's silly. But at the same time, she recognizes the things of God just from little fun music. And of course, we've danced and sang with her, right. and made it fun for her. But one particular song, she cracks me up with it. They do this little like no, no, no. And she's got the finger wave down with it and everything now. And yeah, it's funny, it's silly, but at the same time, she is taking all that in and recognizing that even at such a young age that she is, of that being Christ-like. There's times where she may not understand what the words are right now, but we sing it with her, we praise with her, we worship with her. She recognizes that.
Yeah.
The songs are on by themselves, and she'll lift her hands up and worship. Why? Because we've taught her those things even from such a young age. And I'm not saying that sitting here to boast on myself at all or anything. But what I'm saying is that even from such a young age with a child, they can recognize things of the Lord. And so it's important as we sit here and talk about this, important from Ephesians and to Deuteronomy, just sitting and talking about the things of God. Sitting and just explaining and showing these young kids what it is to have an attitude of worship, what it is to understand and recognize the things that are of God, that no matter their age, they can recognize those things.
Well, it's cultivation, you know, and I mean, that's the word the second time I've gone back to that word today, and I don't know how else to get away from it. But if you were teaching her to dance, nobody would call it silly.
Correct.
If you were taking her to beauty pageants for babies, nobody would call it silly.
You're right.
If you were teaching her to swing a bat and said she was going to be the next best softball player, nobody would look at you and say, T, that's silly. So to me, you're teaching her how to worship. She's hearing the things of God. Of course, she comes here and she experiences worship on her own level.
Correct.
But, you know, just like the other night when she was sitting in the sanctuary, she got to sit right up there in the altar with us, and she was listening to people talk about God, and she worships. And, I mean, to me, it's cultivation. You're showing her. But this is the things of God. I remember when my boys were not much older than Lorelai, when they were not much older than her, that I wanted them to remember scripture, and I got caught on this verse. And so it's 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy.
Yeah.
You know, for us at our age, it's not a long verse to memorize, but I can remember my boy sitting in that bathtub and memorizing that scripture. Today, now they're getting a little bit older. We go a little bit longer. But just that concept, it is written, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. You know, the writings of the book of Deuteronomy, what was the Holy Spirit writing of? He was telling them, hey, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I mean, think about this. Think about the simplest concept that you talked about. It doesn't always have to be a scripture. And you're right, it doesn't always have to be a scripture, because you, in a sense, were brought out of Egypt as well. You can tell about the Lord delivering your soul. Mm-hmm. Your wife can tell about the Lord delivering her soul. And so when you sit around the table and you sit around the house and when you lay down and when you walk along the road and when you're moving in any direction, you can talk about God's deliverance. And when you talk about God's deliverance, you're going to testify the blood of Jesus. And when you testify that the blood of Jesus, your kids are going to receive the word of God. And when they receive the word of God, we know that that brings a harvest. And so to me, in the simplest forms of all of this, it's not so much about sitting down and saying, we have 19 minutes of study and 1 minute of prayer, and we will do this 20 minutes every day at 7:40, and you will be at the kitchen table. And if you're not, well, because what's going to happen? Ball games are going to happen. Life's sure. going to happen. Sickness, tiredness,
teenagers are going to happen when they just want to reject that and do the opposite of it.
I'm telling you, man, the cultivation of relationship. Make it okay that you can stand on the baseball field and play catch and talk about the things of God.
Absolutely. With your
kids. Make it, that's the place we're at in life. So I always talk about sports because that's where my boys are and my girls. But it's okay to stand on the baseball field and talk about the walls of Jericho falling down. It's okay to stand on the baseball field and talk about the things that have happened. And so I think what we miss is we think because we can't commit to a 7-week study on the book of Jonah every night with all six of us sitting in the living room, that somehow we should just not do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest lie the Absolutely. Enemy has told people is that, well, if you can't do a chapter a day, it's not worth it. That's a lie. One yeah. verse can change everything.
Man, I remember growing up and even in the early parts of my personal marriage with my wife, some of the greatest conversations and the greatest times that we've had in the Lord have been some of the most, what you would consider, unopportune times.
Yeah.
It's not sitting down. It's
right.
It's going places, seeing things, experiencing conversations that spark other conversations to happen, and just some of the things that you're able to talk about and remember and recall and just think about is just on a whim, for lack of, mm-hmm. of a better term. And sure, we've had great discussions and times where we've sat in living rooms and pulled up Bible verses and pulled up worship songs and done it. But you're absolutely right. It's one of the biggest lies that the enemy says is that we have to have a set time for it.
Right.
It can be done at any time during the day.
Well,
it can be a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you have older kids that you haven't, maybe those of you who are listening have older kids that you feel like you failed in that area. Call them. Just call them and say, hey, I didn't do a good job when you were younger of raising you the way I should. I just want to tell you about what the Lord did for me today.
Mm-hmm.
Those relationships are still there. Those relationships can still happen. I think I've shared this before, maybe not on the podcast, but shared it with the church before. I can think of a story of my dad and his dad, my grandpa, when they were younger, never wanted to read him a book. My dad always wanted to crawl up into his lap and mm-hmm. hear a book mm-hmm. read to him. And obviously that relationship has been restored and they had to work through different things of their own. But I can remember a heart change within my grandpa, or I can remember the story told about right. it, but a heart change within my grandpa is that when my dad was an adult, my grandpa went to him and said, hey, I want you to crawl in my lap and I want to read you a book.
Right.
And that restored a relationship mm-hmm. between them two because of a relationship that happened between my grandpa and the Lord. And I say that to say it's never too late to be able to disciple your kids and to be able to tell your kids about the goodness of God and to cultivate those relationships. You know, I think of my in-laws. They weren't in church when they were raising their kids,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and they weren't in church when you know, when they had an opportunity while their kids were growing up to mm-hmm. disciple their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? When they got saved, they brought their kids to church and they started mending those relationships and started changing some of those things and started having Bible studies with their adult kids
mm-hmm.
and tried to mend and you know, kind of get back some of that time that they missed.
Yeah.
And I say all that to say, like, it's not too late. And so, yeah, we're talking now from a perspective of those with younger kids, of discipling them and raising them up in the Word. But even if you have older kids, you can still start that now.
Well, you got to use what you got, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the kind of house I grew up in is, you know, we didn't go to the store every day. Okay, you use what you got.
Yeah.
Well, the day we live in, I mean, half my family likes to talk and the other half don't. So even my wife's job is not a job where she can just talk all the time. However, one thing I can do is they have issued both of my sons' email addresses over here to school. So I don't get it done every day, but I try probably 3 days a week maybe 4 days a week, I will send them an email. And I put them all on the list. And guess what? I know my wife's phone is going to go off with an email. I know my boys have to check their email at least once a day. And I will just send a couple verses. Maybe it's one verse with a thought. And it's not this big 3-point sermon that took me 30 minutes to do, right? It could literally be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It could be Psalm 23. It can be Psalm 1. We talked about this morning earlier. I try to send them something simple because I want my family to know that I'm praying for them.
Yeah.
I want my family to know that I'm cultivating a relationship where all of our relationships within our home are based on the Word of God and flow through the Word of God. I'm trying to build a house in which my sons and my daughters are comfortable talking about God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where mm-hmm. my wife is comfortable hearing the Word of God. So whether it's email, whether it's text message, because guess what happens? What happens when we get back together? That text message comes up. That email comes up. That Word of God comes up. And now we're sitting there cutting up peppers for the supper table or cutting up vegetables. And what happens? That verse of the day just pops up. I'm convinced that most of us are not called to go to the whole world and preach the gospel, but we're called to the place that we're at.
Correct.
And when we are a parent, whether our kids are 15, 5, 17 months, 17 years old, 25 years old, 10 years old, what difference can it make? Think about this, Christian. When you speak the Word of God to your children.
Yeah.
When you speak the Word of God to your children. I don't know that we understand the value of the Word of God and living in the Word and then the Word flowing through us. As I read that verse this morning, John 7, 37 and 38. Let all who are thirsty come. And then in verse 38, living water flows through them that are in Christ. Your kids are thirsty.
Yeah.
And they're going to drink somewhere.
Yep. Yeah. That's.
I want to be the one that fills their cup through Jesus.
Correct.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, and all throughout scriptures, all throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, there's a common theme of children's listening to parents and parents teaching children's. And we have this common misconception in all culture today that it's the church that should be teaching us. Scripture doesn't say, hey, go to church. Parents, send your kids to church so that they can hear something. It's fathers, mothers, parents, you teach your kids.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've even heard before from some people. And it's, well, they'll get something from church. You know, we don't have time to do it at home. And so I know that they'll teach it in the church. And yeah, they will hear that. Obviously, they're coming to church. They're going to hear the scriptures. They're going to hear the Bible. They're going to hear about Jesus. But it's important that they hear it from the place that they are at every day. Mm. And it's important that as fathers and mothers, we raise them how we want them to be when they grow up.
So we've taught, so today we've talked primarily about speech, right?
Correct.
We've talked about emails, we've talked about songs and singing, and we've talked about talking to our kids, text messages, whatever it means we can get, right? But you just said something that sparked a thought in me. You said, we expect the church to teach our children. Okay? Well, that's a horrible mindset, in my opinion. The church should teach your children, but the church should teach you.
Correct.
And the church teach you, you go home and teach your children. And the church obviously has areas where we teach children. And sometimes we leave them in the big church so they can learn what it's like to worship with us and this sort of thing. But I think this concept just popped in my mind. And the Holy Spirit said, what if we don't even teach them to go to church?
Hmm.
What if we say God is important. And we say at home, we follow God. Yet when Sunday morning rolls around, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or small groups, or Bible, whatever the concept, home groups, those things are never important. Mm-hmm. What if everything in our life is geared towards completing things that fulfill us, but we never show our children the importance of fellowship in the community of Christ? What if we never show our children that you need your brothers and sisters in Christ? What if you never show your children that you need to go to the place of worship? If that's in someone's garage with five other people, if that's in the church house with 5,000, if that's on the vacation with your 20 family members sitting around the beach singing praise to God, I mean, church can look different, okay?
Correct.
But if we are not taking time and setting it aside and teaching our children the things of God, not just the words, right?
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes our speech is in vain because our manner of conversation doesn't line up with our speech.
Yep.
And I think we don't confess. Well, we just talk.
It goes back to the old saying that people don't like to live by today, but actions speak louder than words.
100%.
And we don't have to agree with it, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a fact.
Yeah.
I can say I'm a billionaire.
Right. Yeah.
But if I'm not acting like I am, then people are going to start to question, does he actually have money? Mm-hmm. I know that's a silly concept, but at the same time, I can say I'm a Christ follower, but if I'm never attending church and I'm not having conversations and I'm not living out what that means, people start to question some things. And so it comes to, our mannerisms of how we live our life should match up with what we are saying.
Yeah, well, I've always thought about this verse in Revelation 22 that talks about that his servants will serve him, mm-hmm. right? I've always thought it was weird that people say they want to go to heaven, but they won't go to church.
Like,
you realize that part of being in a relationship with Jesus is his name is going to be on your forehead.
Correct.
In heaven.
Correct.
And you're going to serve him now. I mean, we can go into deep theological conversations about what that looks like in eternal life, but that is the weirdest concept. And before people are like, oh, you're a pastor, of course you're going to say that. Well, I've had this thought since I became a Christian. Why would you tell someone how much you love Jesus, how thankful you are that he saved you from a devil's hell, and how grateful you are to be in a relationship with him, but yet every single thing in your life is put in front of that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it. And in our culture seems to be placating towards that. And then if you're the pastor and you ask somebody, hey man, I haven't seen you at church in a while, then it's automatic condemnation, right? I mean, and that's not God's plan. That's the enemy, you know? And really, yes, I believe we can have church anywhere. I really, truly do. But church was never intended to be alone.
Mm.
Church wasn't intended to be watching on your iPad.
Correct.
Sitting on YouTube with somebody you've never met. You're not in a relationship with them. Hey, we all have days off, right? We all go on vacations. We all get sick. We all have babies. We all have jobs. Sometimes the culture we're in, I mean, I know people that, and they force them to work on Sundays. And so they try to come on Wednesdays, or they try to get, you know, different. There's all things, right? But this is what I'm telling you, is it's hard for me to believe and understand that you can teach your kid that following Jesus is important if you don't show them.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
You've got to show them. It can't be follow Jesus because I said so.
Correct.
It has to be follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah. Well, you say that, and we had a conversation with somebody specifically this morning that said something about their kids that completely changed my perspective on something. And the conversation was, you know, you can kind of control them and dictate them while they're in the household for a while.
Yeah.
But where their heart is what matters. And when I heard that this morning, it completely changed the perspective on how I want to teach my kids.
Amen.
Completely changed it. And going with this concept is I want to teach my kids through actions and words to the point where their heart yearns for those same things. I don't want to be a dictator in my house.
Yeah.
Not for life standards and not for biblical standards. I don't want to be the one that's shoving Bible down their throat to where when they get old or older into a place where they're like, my dad never taught me how to love Christ. He just taught me the things of Christ and shoved things down me.
Yeah.
I want to teach them in a way and live my life in a way that is honoring Jesus for what he's done to me so that my kids see my heart, so that their heart changes for and yearns for the things of God as well. And that isn't just through speech.
No.
It's all encompassing.
Yes.
It's how you act, it's how you respond, it's how you speak, it's how you pray, it's how you go about life. When life comes against you, what is your response to it? Is your response of things of flesh, or is it your response of things, hey, let's pray about this. Hey, let's talk about this. Hey, let's take this to the scriptures. Hey, let's apply the word to our situation. And so you're absolutely right in that is the living out of the gospel, the living out of what God's word said is important.
I think for me, something that helped me is I'll be 38 this year and my kids are getting older. My prayers have changed a little bit for them. And something I realized probably 3 or 4 years ago, before I started writing my book was I want to be the kind of man my sons would dream to be. I want them to see me as a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can't see you as a godly man if you're not living a godly life.
Correct.
It doesn't mean I ace this, but it's what I strive for. I want to be the kind of man that inspires my sons to be godly men. And I want to be the kind of man that I desire my daughters to marry. And so when I keep that in my mind, I have found, one, it keeps me in prayer for my sons and my daughters.
Sure.
Because I don't know how long the Lord has me here if he tarries. I don't know how many years I get. I don't know the end of where I'll be. But I know this for certain, that today I have spent greater than 50%, 60% of time that I will get with my children in my home. I'm already further along in this than I want to be. And no matter what I do, the time doesn't slow down. My sons are hitting an age where their life is changing rapidly. My daughters are right behind them. And this is what I know. I probably have fewer days with all of them in my home than what I did just some years ago when it seemed like I had a really long time and it seemed like we were going to be in this place for a while. I can already see the end of getting to train my children, getting to raise my children and instruct them. And so for me, I want to show my sons who a godly man is. I want my sons to see that. And I want my daughters to know that there are godly men that Yep. will lead them, that will love them, that will treat them the way young ladies deserve to be treated, and that will honor God and honor them. And if I can show my kids that and love their mama in front of them and love the body of Christ and love the word of God, then friend, in my eyes, that's a successful life.
Yeah.
And that's the life I want.
Absolutely. Well, it kind of goes with what I was going to say with 3 John 1, 4, and this is kind of taken in both concepts, is I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Amen.
And that we can take that from a parental standpoint and also a spiritual standpoint, is that I have no greater joy than to hear that my spiritual children are walking in truth too. And to be able to get to that point, to have that joy, to know that they're walking in it, mm-hmm. takes the preparation Amen. Beforehand. And Amen. That's what we're, you know, discussing and trying to get across today, is the importance of teaching your children the things of God. It's teaching your children how to walk, how to act, yes. how to pray, how to read, how to be Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And it's important. It's important for the body of Christ, because the children of today are the generation of tomorrow.
Amen.
And if we want a continual spiritual generation to be raised up, to take a stand, to be world changers, it takes the preparation now. And I think that is something of importance that we need to be reminded of today, is that we have to prepare as the parents, as the fathers, as the mothers, to teach our children so that they can, when they get to the age where they can learn themselves, they know what it's like.
Amen. And clearly, we're going to have to do a part 2 of this. And we're going to have to do some practical things that we have seen that work, and maybe talk about some practicality of application within the home. Because we kind of started on that today and gotten this really good conversation. And so I don't think there's ever a bad time to talk about what the Bible looks like lived out in our homes.
Correct.
And so maybe next week we'll jump back into this if the Lord allows. And we just enjoy time with you guys. Pray that the Lord would bless you. Pray that the Lord would encourage you. And dads, hope you had a wonderful Father's Day. I hope that you know you're valued and you're needed. And I hope you know that God has great plans for your families, and he's expecting you to lead them. There's no pressure in that. There is relationship. Walk well with the Lord, and you can walk with any man. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.